So glad you're here today. I'm Pastor Jeff. If you're a guest with us and you don't know me, normally I'm preaching, but every now and then we get a guest speaker. 2 weeks ago we had a guest speaker. Now we have one again. It's just the way it lined up with the calendar and being able to get them here. I'm so glad you're here today. This is Craig Sider. Craig's been one of my mentors for years. He has been a pastor in our denomination, a church planter. He's been a bishop in our denomination. Currently, he's the founder and CEO of InFocus Leadership. He trains leaders from around the world on how to be better leaders. Just an awesome guy all around. I could go on.
I could just keep going.
He's helping me do fundraising. I mean, part of the reason this building exists is because Craig was there pounding my head going, talk to this person, call this person. I'd write him an email, Craig, does this email sound good? And he'd be like, it sounds idiotic, send it. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm just joking. But he really did play a part in making sure we had the funding for this building helping us. So Craig is an awesome guy. He loves Revolution Church. I'm really glad you're here today.
Thanks, man.
So I'm gonna pray for you.
Yeah, please.
And then you'll share the word with us. God, I just pray for Craig in Jesus' name that you give him the right words and presence for us. Help us to have the right heart and mindset to learn these truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's welcome
Amen.
Craig this morning.
Well, good morning. I got one guy that said hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's awesome. It is so good to be here. And Jeff's right. We talked about this building before this building was the reality that is today. And to walk in this morning and to see it and to worship with you, I got to tell you, it's awesome. So thank you for being here this morning. It's a privilege to be in the old building. It's a privilege to be in the new building. I enjoy meeting people for the first time. I think people get a little annoyed by me because I go up to them and I start talking to them. So I was talking to a guy in a Zoom this past week from Oslo, Norway, who was in Geneva, Switzerland, that somebody said I needed to talk to. So here we are in a Zoom, and he goes, Craig? And I go, Andreas? And he goes, yes. And I said, so tell me about yourself. He goes, well, I own an investment firm. I said, tell me about your family. He goes, I'm 44. I'm single. I'm in Geneva visiting a lady. And then I'm on my way to Romania to explore a missions opportunity. And so in about a minute and a half, I found out a little bit about his identity. So if I asked you this morning, tell me a little bit about yourself, what would you say? I'm a dad. I'm a mom. I'm a student. I'm a business person. I'm a homemaker. I'm a teacher. I'm a grandparent. I'm a Kansan. Some of our identity we can put into words, and some of them we just need to show pictures. So can I show you pictures of my identity? All right, so can we? There's one. I'm the youngest of four boys. Which one am I? The far left. The one who isn't paying attention, right? That's me. Yeah, that's me. Those are my three older brothers. Now, next picture. Wow! That is wonderful. Just sit there and soak that sucker in, right? What year do you think that was? Kind of go back. Yeah, 70-something, 1979. That was my first job outside the family business. If somebody would have asked me about Kansas, then I would have said, dust in the wind and carry on wayward summons. Some of you are going, what? Talk to your parents or your grandparents, right? Okay, how about this one? Okay, that's this past spring. That's me in London. I've just had roles in my lifetime that have taken me around the world, and I love to travel. Okay, how about this one? Ooh. Where's my Mahomes buddy over there? There he is, right there, right? He's going, oh, that's Josh Allen's jersey for the Buffalo Bills, and I grew up right across from Buffalo, so I'm a Bills fan. And I smile most of the time, except for when they play Kansas City, right? Okay, how about next? I'm a Toronto Blue Jays fan. How about this? Ooh, I'm from Canada. I grew up 20 minutes away from that lake that's been in the news in the last couple of weeks, right? I grew up in Ontario. So those are some of my identity markers. You have me figured out a little bit. Okay, I think there's one more there. Yeah, this is more me. this is my real identity. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's my core identity. So it's interesting what makes up our identity markers as a person. So if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, we're going to talk about what is a key identity marker for you. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand if you are. If you're here and you're not sure if you're a follower of Jesus, first thing I want to say is thank you for being here. Thank you for exploring what it is to know Jesus and follow Jesus. And I just want you to know that if you step across this line and become a follower of Jesus, it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. It's the best decision you'll make for your forever life. But I kind of want you to know what you're getting into. So don't take my word for it. Let's look at what Jesus, the creator of this whole world, had to say. So if, I think on the screen they're going to put up the text from Matthew chapter 5, or you can look in your Bibles. Is your Bible like my Bible? Yeah. So you can look in your Bible at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You know, you don't get any points for getting there fast. I'm just saying. This is not a Bible quiz. But I'll start to read. Is that okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And you can kind of keep that open in front of you if you want. This is Jesus speaking. In some Bibles, they have it in red because that means Jesus is talking. He goes, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This, Jesus was about 30 years old when he was giving. Anybody in the house in their 30s? Anybody in the house wish they were in their 30s? Yeah, right? So Jesus was about 30 years old, and if you go back to the beginning of the passage, which it won't, it says he went up on a mountainside. I flew into Salina last night. There are no mountains here, right? I'm from Pennsylvania. It was kind of like rolling hills, and that's really the picture here. Jesus kind of moved up onto the side of this rolling hill, and it says his disciples came to him and a crowd came to him. And he gives several pictures of what it's like. One of them we didn't read was, "You're the salt of the earth," and this one is, "You're the light of the world." And I want to take those words that Jesus said 2,000 years and put them right in front of us at Revolution in Salina, Kansas this morning. And here's the question I want you to be asking about yourself, whether you're a Chiefs fan or a Bills fan, or I saw a Packers fan, whatever you are, what is Jesus saying about my identity? What is Jesus saying about my identity? And I want to give you five statements. Here's the first one. Let's put it up on the screen. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Now, here's the word I want you to get right at the beginning. He says, you are the light of the world. So turn to the person beside you. Jeff, is it okay if I do this? Okay, what are you going to say, right? turn to the person beside you and say, "I am the light of the world." Go ahead, do that. Now, all right, I didn't say give a paragraph. I said, "You are the light of the world," right? Now, if you go around telling people, "I am the light of the world," they'll go, "I agree with one thing." It's got five letters, and it's W-E-I-R-D. You're weird, right? But here's what I want you to get. Jesus says, "You are." If you're a follower of Jesus, you are. He doesn't say you will become. He doesn't say when you get your life together. Doesn't say when you gain influence. Doesn't say when you become a member of Revolution and go through all the Bible classes. He says, "You are." That may be the most audacious thing Jesus says, is, "You are the light of the world." I'm putting it right out there. You are. That's better than a Bills jersey. That's better than a Chiefs jersey. You are the light of the world. Remember how your teacher used to say to you, he'd call you by name or she'd call you by name and say, "Now, Craig, you can be somebody if you really apply yourself." I have three older brothers. You saw in that picture, right? And one of them said to me about, we're all past 60. Two of them have passed away. So we're all older than 60. And one of them said to me about 10 years ago, "You know, Craig, we never thought you'd amount to anything." I go, "Well, I'm not sure I have." But they were projecting ahead. It's like people say, you know, "You can be rich if you buy this investment. You can be a pro athlete if you apply yourself. You can be a 67-year-old in shape if you do Tai Chi walking. You can," yeah, you've seen it too. You can lose 30 pounds if you do 10,000 steps a day. You'll get a promotion if," Jesus says, "I'm not telling you but what you can be. I'm telling you what you are. You are the light of the world." So here's what I'd like you to do this morning. Whether this is your first time at Revolution, you've been here forever like Jeff, just receive this identity that Jesus gives you. You are the light of the world. You are. So let's go to the second thing. Well, here's the word I want you to see, is you are the light of the world. You are. So, Jeff, I'm going to move this stuff around. Jeff, can you come on, stand up here? Because I don't want to be Jesus. But I'm okay asking you to be Jesus, okay? So let's say Jeff is Jesus. Wow, we could give a whole message about that, couldn't we? Let's say Jeff is Jesus. Would you like to come up here and make an argument for that? No, we won't do that. And Jeff is looking out at the crowd, and you're standing back behind Jesus and looking what the crowd is like. All right, you can go down. Okay. Jesus, thank you. Who did you see on the hillside there that day? Well, you saw all kinds of people. You saw fishermen. You saw babies. You saw mothers. You saw children. You saw laborers. You saw the poor. You saw the sick. You saw the healed. You saw those wanting to be healed. You saw the skeptical, you saw the politically angry, you saw the overlooked, you saw the hopeful, you saw the flawed people. And every one of them thought somebody else was really the light. And Jesus looked at them and he said, "No, actually, you're the light. You're the light. Anthony, you're the light. And you're the light. And you're the light. And you're the light." So does that mean that everybody on the earth is a light for Christ? Well, Jeff's shaking his head no, so I better say no. If you go right back to the beginning of that passage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, the crowds were forming, and Jesus withdrew to a hillside, and his disciples came to him, but the crowd was also there. So here's what's happening. Jesus says, if you start to make a step toward me, you are the light. So who was around him that day? Well, there was one disciple, Peter, who always kind of screwed up. He was the light. Around him that day were James and John, who always wanted to be at the front of the class and be noticed. They were the light. But I think the crowd also heard him that day. So he was kind of giving them a picture of what would happen if they decided to follow him. So you're not just a light for Jesus by showing up. You're a light for Jesus by choosing to follow Jesus. So I want to ask you this morning, wherever you are, whether you're 15 or 35 or 55 or 65, what is your relationship with Jesus? If you go, I follow Jesus, then the you is you. If you're 15 and you're a high school student, the you is you. If you're in your 30s and you're kind of in the middle of your career, the you is you. If you're a homemaker mom, the you is you. If you work in the factory, the you is you. If you drive a truck, the you is you. If you're in your prime at 67, the you is you. You were on the hillside that day. Construction worker, business owner, single mom, retired couple, immigrant family, trying to make it paycheck to paycheck, recovering addict, wrestling with grief, farmer, nurse coming off a night shift, CEO with responsibility for a whole company, someone unemployed, someone whose marriage is thriving, someone whose marriage is struggling, a Republican, a Democrat, from a different race, grew up in a different country, someone who's confident in their faith, somebody who's wrestling with their faith. You're not perfect if you say, I'm following Jesus. The you is you. You are the light of the world. Kind of gives it new meaning when you lean to the person beside you and go, well, I am the light of the world. You know, our instinct is to assume that somebody else whose light really shines bright is better to be the light of the world than I am. If I mention the name Billy Graham, does anybody know who he is? Yeah, he's the light of the world. If you ever remember the name Mother Teresa, she's the light of the world. Pastor Jeff, he's the light of the world. Jesus turns it on its head and he goes, no, the regular followers of me, they're the light of the world. The teacher, the mechanic, the widow, the student, the teen, the executive, the immigrant, the exhausted parent. You're the light of the world. Let me tell you about Bruce. I think some of you are Bruce. I mean, I loved watching this worship team on the platform today. I was sitting right back there, and Anthony did an amazing job. Who did the rap this morning? Yeah, it was awesome. Jeff was okay. You know, but everybody else was really good. Our tendency is to think that the people on the platform are the light. No, you are the light. I grew up in a church about this size, and Bruce never made it to the platform, ever. In fact, Bruce was at the back of the room because Bruce was an usher. In those days, we had ushers because we were really full and we needed to help find seats. And, you know, Bruce wasn't very articulate, so he never would have done well on the platform. And Bruce worked at Harbor Manufacturing in Fort Erie. And he put together boats for a living. Just a simple guy with a simple faith, 55, 60 years old. In Harbor Manufacturing was this guy named Pat, who was a musician. And lived like a crazy life. And he was in his 20s. And he says, Craig, I did everything you were not allowed to do when I was 20 years old. Hitchhiked 4,000 miles at 15. And in this incredible night at a bar, he went to a room and he got down on his knees and he trusted his life to Christ. And he planted a church, and dozens of people came to faith. And I'd say, how did you come to faith? What do you think he said? Bruce. He said, I saw Bruce work every day. He was honest, never took anything home. Never spoke meanly to people. Edna would pick him up in the car at the end of work. And he said, and I watched. Nobody thought I was watching, but I'd see them lean over and kiss each other and then go back to their seat and drive away. And he said, I watched that for years. And he said, it was the light of Bruce's life that convinced me that I should be a Christ follower. So when I say you are the light, you are the light. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't say, I could never make it on the platform. God doesn't need you on the platform. He needs you where you are. Let me go to the third thing. You are the light. Oh, I didn't tell you this. Bruce was my usher when I was a kid in church, and Pat is now my brother-in-law. And so I got to see them both live out their lives following Christ. It's a great thing to see. So what does the light mean? It means you make something visible that wasn't visible before. Light makes something show up. I like my kids, my grandkids. I have grandkids who are now 13, let's see if I get it right, 9 and 7. And they love to play hide and seek. I don't have a big house. I have no place to hide. But they always want to play hide and seek. So when Liana, who's our oldest, was a little girl, and we were living in and around New York City, she go, Grandpa, and we had an apartment, right? Grandpa, let's play hide and seek. I go, she's going to find me in no time flat. Let's turn out the lights. So I turned out the lights to go hide. It's not a good thing to do, to try and do hide and seek in the dark. Do you have that picture of what happened to me? I walked right into the corner of the wall, had to go to the hospital, had to get stitches. You know, being in the dark is not a good thing. When Jesus says you're the light of the world, that just means he wants you to shine where you are. Now, I don't like to get in an argument with Jeff because Jeff is very, I'm picking on you a lot this morning. Jeff is very articulate. I mean, he just really explains things well. That's part of the reason why you're here. But I want you to know, to show up as light, you don't need to learn how to explain things well. When Jesus says you're the light of the world, it's not about how loud you are. It's not about how aggressive you are. It's not about how bold you are. And those are all good things. It's about how you shine. Light shines, and you have incredible power in shining light. Do the math. John was the guy who brought me out this morning. And John's a math teacher. Do the math. All Bruce did was shine his light. And because of that, Pat came to Christ. And because of that, dozens came to Christ. And it all went back to one guy being the light. You need to show up as light. Now, when I mentioned, I think somebody mentioned the Apostle Paul this morning. The Apostle Paul was one of the early followers of Jesus. Let me give you a glimpse in words of what light looks like. Now, are we going to put this text up on the screen? Oh, you have to look in your Bibles to 9:20. Can you turn there? You'd be so kind as to turn there. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. And I'm going to ask you to read it in your mind like I'm going to read it when I read it, okay? So you're there, or some of you are, so here's what I'm going to read. And I'm going to insert my name at places. Craig, love must be sincere. Craig, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Craig, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Craig, be joyful in hope and patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Craig, bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those in mourn. Craig, live in harmony with one another. Craig, don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Craig, do not be conceited. Craig, do not pay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Craig, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Craig, don't take revenge. my dear friend, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, Craig, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Craig, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's light. What happens if across Salina, we are that? Now, I love the scripture. I was saying to John and Alejandro that I play a Bible game every morning with my friend Brian and my friend John. They both live 300 plus miles away. It's called Versal, and it gives you a verse of scripture, and you get five guesses to find it in the Bible. And so we do this, I know, wow. We do this every day. I do it first thing I get up in the morning. But you know what I found? Well, I haven't found this. I'm stinking competitive, right? I really am competitive. More than finding the scripture, I like to find it before Brian and John. It's not just a good day when I find it. It's a good day when I find it first. And so for a whole week, I talked to Brian, and he said, Brian, I got this whole thing upside down. I think I've been acting like there's points for knowing where verses are in the Bible. There's no points for that. The point is for the Bible letting it live out through me. So wherever you find yourself today, you are the light of the world. You are. Can I give you a fourth? So the interesting thing is, I can talk to you this morning. Can I ask you your first name?
Aaron.
That's a very biblical name, Aaron. So I can say you, and I can mean Aaron, like I'm talking to you. I can use the word you, and I'm talking to everybody, and say, well, in the South we'd say, y'all, right? But I can say you. It's interesting, Jesus uses the plural here. He says, you are the light of the world. Wow, what's that mean for revolution? It means you have the opportunity to be a bonfire in Salina. And I drove from the southern part of Salina up to church this morning. And I'm thinking, what an opportunity revolution has. When Salina sees revolution's compassion, then they see the light of Jesus. When Salina sees revolution's generosity, then they see the light of Jesus. When Salina sees revolution trying to bring people together, they see the light of Jesus. You have an incredible opportunity as a whole church to be a bonfire. I absolutely love the local church. When I was sitting back there in that back row this morning, I thought, I love this. Let me tell you about two people. Let me tell you about Jay. Sometimes on Sunday morning in the church I grew up in, they'd say, turn around, say hi to a few people. And Jay was a big, burly truck driver. And he would look at me and he would unashamedly said, I found Jesus because of this church. He goes, I was an alcoholic. My life was going nowhere. I was rough. I was gruff. But I found Jesus. And I found Jesus because of this church. Then I'd tell you about Dana. Dana started attending our church that I planted near Toronto. Oh, he didn't come to the church first. He came to a games night. Because it was safe, right? He came like a movie night. He came to a games night, and it was a games night where you had to explain your argument in the game, and I explained the argument that I was giving. He went, "That's BS," but he didn't say BS. He said something else, right? And I go, "Wow, I'm glad you're here." When Jeff said I was bishop, the last day when I left near Toronto and drove down to Pennsylvania to serve as a bishop, the last thing I got to do was baptize Dana. And he looked at, I didn't tell you what he does. He's a spinal surgeon, one of the tops in Canada. And he said three things. He goes, "I'm just thankful to God for his grace. I'm thankful for this church that was patient with me and let me see what the love of Christ was like. And I'm thankful for Howard, who loved me." Dana, a spinal surgeon, Howard, a dog groomer. And he said, "I'm thankful for Howard, who loved me. And I want to commit my life to Christ." You being a part of Revolution becomes a bonfire. I mean, if you're here and you're just checking out the church and checking out Jesus, as my Australian friends would say, good on you. Like, do that. But if you've been here for a while, be a part of the bonfire. Don't just observe. Get involved in the life of the church and be a part of the story that brings a Jay or a Dana to faith in Christ. One more thing. Number five. I was thinking on the way here this morning, we used to sing this song in Sunday school, "This Little Light of Mine." Anybody know it? I'm not going to sing it because I can't sing "Where'd Anthony Go?" I can't sing like that, right? But the second part is, hide it under a bushel? No, right? Don't hide what Jesus wants you to reveal. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and praise my Father in heaven." So that means when you go into every day this week, whether you're going into a high school class, whether you're at home with your kids, whether you're going into the place that you work, whether you're retired, it's saying, who am I going to encounter today, and will they see Jesus because of me? You know, it's helpful to be very intentional about shining your light. So I want to give you just an example of what helps me. I was with a friend of mine, my Versal friend, and I went together for 2 days in New York City with a guy who was talking to us about how to follow Jesus and how to honor our spouses. So at the end of the 2 days, he said, "I'd like you to pray and ask God for a picture of how to love your spouse." This was 10 years ago. And the picture that God gave me was to wash my wife's feet every day. Laura is her name. And to pray at the beginning of every day, "Jesus, help me wash Laura's feet today." Now, you might be sitting there thinking, "Craig, that's kind of proud of you to say that." Well, actually, you know why I pray that prayer? Because I'd much rather have my feet washed. I'd much rather have people serve me. And God said, "I want you to turn that right upside down." So almost every day, sometimes I blow it by 10 a.m., Aaron. But every morning, as I did this morning, I say, "Jesus, help me to wash Laura's feet today." And it's just a reminder as I walk through the day and the pressures of the day come and the disagreements of the day come and I want to go there and she wants to go there. Craig, what's it mean to wash your feet? So what's it mean to be the light of the world? I thought, what can be a reminder to us? What do you see every day? Well, put up on the screen here. Or not. A picture of a light switch. So I had a picture of a light switch. What would it be like if every time you saw a light switch, I don't know if there's ones in this room, but there's one, like I'm in a hotel room. There are 10 lights in my hotel room. I couldn't turn them off last night, right? Yeah, there's a light switch. What would happen if every day when you saw a light switch, your mind went to, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. What's it mean for me to be at home and think I'm the light of the world in the tone that I use with my husband, my wife, my kids, when no one's watching? Or I'm at work and I'm honest and generous and dependable. Or I'm in traffic. And in those moments when I'm impatient or angry, I'm the light of the world. Or at school, when I choose to sit beside the person who isn't popular. Or I'm at a restaurant or a store and I choose to be honorable to the person who is probably in their 60s making minimum wage and is serving me. Or when I encounter a difficult person and I choose not to gossip, or someone is hurting and I stop long enough to listen to them, or I have my money and I choose to be generous rather than buy that thing, or I'm in the neighborhood and I pay attention to people and I welcome people and I remember their names. It's, friends, it's in the unexpected moments that your life makes a difference. What happens if you look at the light switch that way? So Laura and I, last Sunday, were going to Art in the Park in Long's Park in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I live. And thousands of people go, and there's only one way to get in, so there's a long pathway of cars to get in. You kind of move to the side, and we're just kind of going a car at a time. And it was obvious to Laura and me that the person in front of us, oh, I shouldn't say their gender, so this person was on her phone, okay? And it was obvious because she would jerk and stop and then go ahead and jerk and stop. And Laura and I looked at each other and go, she's on her phone. Yeah, we know. So cars went ahead a little bit. She went ahead a little bit. Cars went ahead a bit and stopped. She went ahead and didn't stop. Bam. Smacks the car in front of her. We're the car next. So the two of them kind of just jostle their car to the side. And again, we're going really slow. So we go up alongside them to get past. And we see the guy get out of his car. And we kind of look at ourselves and go, this is going to be fun, right? And as we're going by, he gets out of his car and he looks back at her. And the first thing he says are you okay? I wish she wouldn't have said it, but Laura looked at me and said, is that what you would have said? And of course, being the spiritual person, I said, well, is that what you would have said? Right? But it was that moment where I thought, I don't know if he was a Christ follower, but oh my goodness, what she did was wrong, but what he did was so right. So what's it mean to show up every day acknowledging, I am the light of the world? And Jesus makes it really clear when you do that, it isn't to bring attention to yourself. It's not say, oh, Craig, you were so good today. It's so that people see Jesus through me. You know, think in your mind this morning. Many of you here this morning are followers of Jesus, and you're here because someone else shone the light of Jesus into your life. And God gives you the incredible opportunity to do the same. So Revolution Church as a whole, and you as an individual, 15, 16, 23, 37, 45, 58, 63, 72, shine bright for Jesus. Someone in your world is waiting to find him because of you. Amen? Amen. I'd love to pray for you. Father, just as we're sitting here this morning, for those of us who know Jesus, bring to our mind those people who have shone the light of your light in our lives. And I thank you for my mom, my dad. I thank you for Paul. I thank you for Sharon. We thank you for the people who, without even knowing it, made such a difference in our lives because the light of Jesus was in them. Lord, help us be every day that light to someone in our world, in our family, in our work, in our school, in our job. And I pray that you will help us as a church, as Revolution Church, to be just incredibly courageous in how we shine the light of Jesus into this city. And we do this not to bring honor to ourselves, not to bring attention to ourselves, but to praise our God in heaven, because we know that every person on this planet matters to you. Every person in this city matters to you. Every person that I drove by this morning wondering if they were going to church or not, they matter to you. Help us shine your light this week, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.